Well, folks, it's great to have you once again joining us for another message, another program of Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Once again, we are delighted that you have chosen to spend the next 30 minutes with us. We are going to today continue part three of the principle of trusting, the last principle in the series of principles that we've looked at under this series titled The Pursuit of Christ. That means that with this message, we end the entire series. We certainly pray and hope that the series has been beneficial, that God has spoken to you as much as He has spoken to us. And we hope that you will take what you have learned here and ask the Spirit of God to help you apply it so that you may live indeed a life that proves and demonstrates that your highest desire in life is to pursue the Lord Jesus. After all, that is what it is all about. Well, we already made two major points, as we were looking at the principle of trust. We're going to look at the third point this week. Last week, we said that trust keeps us focused, or that was 2 weeks ago. Last week, we talked about that the fact that keeping our sights on Jesus is how we develop the level of trust that is required for us to live a life that brings Him all the glory. The last point in this principle is the joy of trusting. And we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12 once again. That's the main text that we have been looking at. And we will also be looking at verse number 3. So let's go ahead and read. Now we have spoken some already about verse 2 last week, but we're going back to it because there's a lot more information to be unpacked here. So let's start in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Listen, just because Jesus was divine does not mean that He did not suffer physically and spiritually. Listen, one of the most important things that I want us to see, particularly out of verse 2 as we address this particular passage, is the attitude of Jesus, the attitude of Christ in light of the circumstances and in light of that which He was about to experience at the end of His life and ministry here on earth. Listen, the joy of trusting. Jesus well knew that at the end of His earthly life, at the end of His ministry, was the cross. He knew that He would be crucified. He knew that He would experience the agony, the physical agony that comes by being crucified, the most excruciating way to die, the most brutal way to kill people developed by the Romans. He knew that was coming, and He knew also that He would experience the Father forsaking Him as a result of the sin of the world entering His body. He would experience the wrath and endure the punishment for you and me in our place. Listen to what John Henry Newman said. And it's a long paragraph, so stay with me. And as men are superior to animals and are affected by pain more than they, by reason of the mind within them, which gives a substance to pain, so in like manner our Lord felt pain of the body with a consciousness, and therefore with a keenness and intensity, and with a unity of perception, which none of us, listen, can possibly fathom or compass, because his soul was so absolutely in his power, so simply free from the influence of distractions, so fully directed upon pain, so utterly surrendered, so simply subjected to the suffering. And thus, he may truly be said to have suffered the whole of his passion in every moment of it. Listen, the truth is, we simply don't understand what Christ endured on that cross. And as he said, because there was absolutely no distraction on his part, his soul was so absolutely in his power and simply free from all distractions, his entire being was intensely, completely, utterly focused on the pain that he was enduring. Listen. It's not just death that all humans have to look forward to. It is what comes after the physical death that humans need to give great consideration to. Because listen, at the end of this life, as you and I know it, our souls, us, will go into eternity and spend that eternity in one of only two places. I know many don't preach about hell, and I know many don't talk about sin, and I know many don't talk about repentance, and I know that in some cases many don't even speak the name of Jesus. And at the end of the day, whether you believe in hell or not, it's irrelevant. If it exists, it exists in spite of your objection. You understand that, right? Truth is truth. Whether we believe it or not, it's irrelevant. Truth exists in spite of our objection. Jesus not only spared us from the torment of what those who don't know Jesus perceive the physical death to be, but listen, Jesus spared us, those of us who have a personal relationship with him, he spared us of an eternity in hell. And you know what the worst part of hell is going to be? The worst part of hell is going to be the fact that you will nowhere at any moment for eternity experience or sense at all the presence of God. It will be a place where you will reside forever and ever, ever and ever, with God completely removed from it, period. And you know what? That may not seem like a great deal. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know how severe that is because we've never experienced that. Listen, if you don't believe in Christ and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, it doesn't mean you don't experience the presence of God. The simple fact that you wake up tomorrow morning and draw the first breath proves the fact that God is still actively involved in the affairs of man. Nothing happens in the world apart from God allowing those things to happen, whether you're a believer or not. Listen, when it rains on the crops that grow and feed both believers and unbelievers. God is actively involved. We have no idea what it is to experience a place in which God cannot and will not be found. That is called, in addition to the other descriptions and other things the Bible mentions about hell, is hell. But look at his attitude. Let's look at the phrase, endured the cross. We need to let a phrase such as endured the cross sink into our souls, in our hearts, in our minds. The physical pain was one thing, but the spiritual was completely unknown to us because we just simply cannot get it. We cannot get it. Listen to this. Listen to this. You've got to listen to this. Christ, his pure soul, listen, his pure soul, which knew no sin, became sin for us. His pure soul, which knew no sin, became sin for us, inducing the wrath of God and the Father forsaking him. Why do I want to live and pursue Jesus? Because he's Jesus. And because having a pure soul, which knew no sin, he became sin for me. And he took on himself the wrath of God and experienced the Father's forsaking for me. How can I not want to live for Christ? How can I not want to live a life that brings honor and glory to this Jesus? But look at the attitude. Look at the attitude. Look at the phrase, the joy set before him. Jesus was about to experience something none of us will ever fathom, because we simply can't. Jesus was about to endure the cross, endure the wrath of God, experience the Father forsaking him, yet it says in Scripture that he did so because of the joy set before him. He didn't come into this whining and kicking and objecting. He willingly subjected himself because of his love for you and for me to the cross. And you know why? Because he knew that once he had paid for our sin, and once God had demonstrated his approval and his satisfaction with the sacrifice of Christ, he was going to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what? Picture this. After the cross and after the resurrection, when Jesus ascended into heaven, there was a sort of reunion between the Son and the Father. It was heaven's, listen, it was heaven's homecoming. I want to look quickly at Psalm 16. Psalm 16, and I want to look at verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You see that? Jesus endured because of the joy set before him. What an attitude. And the attitude that we should adopt. That's why we ought to be focused on him. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. And I'm looking at verses 9 through 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And you know what? By the way, as a sidebar, what this passage says every person will do, every person will do. In spite of your objection and your disbelief, you, whether you're a Christian or not, you will one day bow before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and confess Him. But listen, what was the joy set before Him? The fact that He would be exalted to the highest place and given a name that is above every name. Listen, do you know what God has promised you when He saved you? He's promised you heaven. He's promised you eternal life. He's promised life in His presence for eternity. Listen, that ought to be the joy set before us. And therefore, because we know what's coming, we know what's awaiting us, we ought to have the same attitude as Jesus in spite of the circumstances and the blows that are delivered to us in this life. Another point I want to mention, look at verse 3, chapter 12, Hebrews. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Listen, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know what trust does? According to this passage, you know what trust does? Trust strengthens our faith. Look at the phrase, grow weary and lose heart. In the Greek, that was sports lingo for you sports fanatics. It was sports lingo in the ancient world for a runner's exhausted collapse. You know what the author of Hebrews is telling us here? That the way for us to avoid a spiritual exhausted collapse is to consider Him. Listen. We are to carefully calculate Jesus and His endurance to opposition. We are to remember His confidence, we are to remember His meekness, and we are to remember His steel, S-T-E-E-L, steel-like strength in meeting His enemies. Trust strengthens our faith. The point is this, and we're coming close to the end of this message. We must be totally absorbed. Listen, we must be totally absorbed. We must be totally consumed with Jesus. Jesus ought to be in every thought. Jesus ought to be in every action, every deed. Jesus ought to be in every word we speak. We ought to be completely absorbed and consumed with Christ. Because you know what that's going to do? First of all, it's going to cause you to turn away from anything that distracts you. If your mind is consumed and devoted to Jesus, it's not going to be able to wander and become preoccupied with things that will distract you and cause you to lose focus. If you're totally absorbed and totally consumed with Jesus, you know what that'll do too? It'll cause you to consciously focus and meditate on Him. You see why it's important that we read the Gospels over and over? See, the more you read the Gospels, the more you learn about Jesus, and the more you learn about His character and His behavior and His attitude, the more you have to meditate about and emulate, the more you have to mull over. Listen, Let yourself be completely absorbed with Jesus. Based on the example that so many have left for us to follow, Hebrews chapter 11, the great cloud of witness, and even those that are not mentioned here, and even those that have been part of our life, relatives and friends who have been great men and women of God, based on the example that they have left us, we are called to do our best. Though we ourselves don't do, we surrender and yield to the Spirit so He can do. If we're going to achieve these, listen, there's some imperatives set before us. If we are going to achieve our best, there are certain imperatives set before us. First of all, we must divest ourselves of all hindrances and sins. Listen, you are not going to live a life that brings glory to God, and you're not going to experience consistent abiding with Christ if you allow the things that hinder your walk with Him to remain, and if you allow for sin to go unconfessed. You have to first divest yourself of all hindrances and of sins. The second thing you have to do is we must run. Listen, we must run. There's a race laid out for us. That's what it says in Hebrews. There's a race laid out for us. We must run with patient perseverance the race that has been marked out for us individually. Listen, we must refuse to quit. And the more we trust Him and the more we're consumed with Him, the more we're able to continue running that race, refusing to quit, always putting one foot ahead of the other. Another imperative, the focus, our fixation must be on Jesus, the author, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. Listen, Jesus, let me tell you how consumed you ought to be. Jesus must occupy the entire sky. That's how much consumed we have to be with Him. That's how much focus must be on Him. That's how much our sights should be fixed on Him. Jesus must cover the entire sky. He's got to be the very center of our horizons. It's all about Him. And the last imperative that we are to follow, or that we must, that is set before us if we are going to allow trust to strengthen our faith, is this one. We must consider Him. We must consider Him and how He lived amidst contradiction and follow His example. He is our ultimate example. He is the one who lived a life that we should look and emulate, and He's the one that provides us with the strength that we need to live a life that glorifies Him. The same opposition that He faced, we will face. We will need to keep our eyes on Him so that we may live in light of that opposition. Well, we've reached the end of this message and the end of this series. We pray that God has used it in your life. Father, thank You so much for the example we have in Jesus. Thank You so much for Him dying on the cross for us. We pray that You would take these passages we've looked at, these principles we've studied, apply them to our lives so that we may live as never before and bring You all the honor and glory. For it is in His name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. We pray that you would prayerfully consider supporting us both with your prayers and with your financial contributions. It is because of your faithful giving that this ministry is able to continue airing this program on this radio station. We do need your faithful and regular support. Would you please consider partnering with us so that we may be able to continue preaching and spreading and propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is our prayer that these programs have been beneficial to you and that God is using them for His own glory and to edify those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you may be equipped for service, that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom, reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus. If you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would do so right now. It's a very simple step. All you need to do is pray from your heart, asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sin as you realize and recognize and repent of your own sin. Open your heart to Him and ask Him to come into your life so that He may be able to forgive you of your sin and grant you the gift of eternal life. If you've prayed that prayer, it is my privilege and on the authority of the Word of God to tell you that you have been adopted, brought into the family of God. Would you please let us know if you have made this decision for the Lord today? If you wish to request any CDs of any of our programs, order any of our resources that we have available in this ministry, please do so either by writing to us or by sending us an email. I am going to give you our contact information right now. Our writing address, our mailing address, is Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. If you, our phone number is 704-778-3759. If you need to order any resources, please let us know by writing or by email. And if you're wanting a CD of any of these programs, just let us know what radio station, the call letters of the station you heard us on, and also let us know the date on which you heard the program. We also want to point you to our website. The website address is www.rffiministries.org. There you can learn a great deal about us and see what resources we have available. It is indeed our pleasure to be able to join with you every week in the study of God's Word. May God richly bless you, and we will see you next week.